Thank God for blessing us in the songs today as we sing to Him and prayer time and being with each other and a special time of communion with God that He has provided. So all that is a gift of grace as the choir sang and motivating us to pray also through the song there. People once asked Jesus, "What must we do to do the works of God?" And Jesus said, "This is the work of God, to believe in the one He has sent." And one time a couple was called on to believe God and do that work. And they had a tough go of it in their life. Their names were Abraham and Sarah. And they had lived quite a long time in an imperfect family situation. So I hope all of us can identify with them. And Abraham and Sarah were well into their years. If you trace their years in the Bible, Abraham was 99 and Sarah was 90 when God got very specific with them and said, "You will have a son." And I've known couples who have had children in a later age, sometimes 40s, maybe into the early 50s, but not beyond that. But God said, I want to give a blessing to you that you cannot bring about yourself. And years before that, God had put into their lives that promise. He told Abraham, "You're going to have many people come after you. You'll have many people as your inheritance." And, of course, they didn't have any children. God had given them that promise about 25 years previous to the promise coming true. And so it was quite a while that they had to wait and wonder and pray. I don't know if you've ever prayed for anything for 25 years and waited faithfully to see it come to pass. Sometimes I run out of steam in my prayer life after a number of weeks, maybe a couple of years. But Abraham and Sarah, trying to have a family, God would intervene. We don't know what their prayer life was like, but in times of discouragement and not having things maybe the way they would like, maybe they prayed with a similar heart that some of the psalm writers prayed when they were hurting and disappointed and had a hard time trusting in God. And so maybe they prayed this way in Psalm 6. "How long, O Lord, how long?" It's been 24 years now. We are waiting. "I'm waiting for help, but help is not happening." Maybe you've prayed that way. King David did. Psalm 10. "Why, O Lord, do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" "I need help, but Lord, it doesn't seem like you're here to help me." That's an honest prayer that gets a connection to God's heart. Psalm 13, "Lord, will you forget me forever?" It seems like forever that I'm dealing with what I'm dealing with. And if you think it's just an Old Testament cry in the dark for God, and maybe those folks didn't know the Messiah, you know, as clearly as saints in the New Testament, even the great apostle Paul and some of his fellow Christians would pray and feel, is God going to come through or not? In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul said, "We despaired even of life." So can you picture the apostle Paul, man, a fearless man, man of great courage and commitment to Christ, saying, "I don't know if I could go on." That's Abraham and Sarah praying that way. God said, "I will give you a child." And it teaches us in the Scripture time after time and in life's experiences that right in the midst of our greatest disappointment or pain that we really do have, and if we were to stack them up this morning, we could fill the sanctuary with those requests. Right in the middle of that great disappointment or pain, there's a promise of God waiting to be discovered. Our God will meet us at that greatest point of pain and disappointment. That was Sarah and Abraham. There they were. When God told Abraham, "I'm going to give you a son," specifically, Abraham said, "I don't believe it." Well, he didn't say it that way. He said, we have just blessed Ishmael, Sarah and I and Ishmael. We have it going well enough already. We've tried to learn how to be content. It's almost like Abraham saying, "Lord, you really don't have to do this." He says, "Will a man almost 100 years old have a son?" Sarah's response was a little bit different. She overheard what might happen. And with the heart, a tender heart of a mom who would have concern for her family, she laughs to herself, probably painfully so. And she says, you know, could somebody as old as I and somebody as old as my husband have a child? We've been praying about this and thinking about this probably for the most of her life. That was a part of who Abraham and Sarah were. And it became so much a part of their identity that perhaps the pain of their disappointment and the pain of their loss really became who they were. But God, in His kindness, would soon become number one in their identity, even over and above what they thought of themselves as. Last week, someone asked me to pray for a concern. It was really close to their heart. I thought it was important also. And so they prayed, I prayed, and I went to pray on my own later in the day, just thinking of the person. And as I began to pray for that person, for whatever reason, not in a great lack of faith, I hope, but I started to think of other people in similar situations that were in the same boat that the person who asked me to pray for had been in, and the difficulties. And somehow, sometimes God did not respond the way I thought He would or intervene as directly as I thought. And as I prayed for that person, trying to trust God, I found myself doing the Sarah chuckle, and I went, huh. Not out of disrespect for God, but just realizing, Lord, it's hard to trust if we only look at the past and think maybe God didn't come through the way I thought in the past. When Sarah laughed, God said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And when God asks a question in Scripture, it's not because He wants information. It's to get our attention, to show us where we're at with Him. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Sarah said, I didn't laugh. She said she was afraid. And so she lied. And the Lord knows the difference between a laugh of joy, oh, God's going to answer this, and a laugh of doubt. I can believe God after all these years. I'm going to need a lot of help for this one. Each one of us has heard of God's great love and work in our lives each moment as we sang. And sometimes we have thought of maybe the pains and disappointments we have or maybe we're facing now. And it's hard for us to laugh a laugh of joy. We might have more doubt in our heart at that point. There's a struggle in our hearts to believe God or not believe God. Jesus said that was the work of God, to trust in the one He has sent. And every time you and I have a struggle with a very painful situation in our lives that maybe has been dogging us for years, and maybe as you think of your new life in 2007, you think, here it is, 7 days into 2007, and the problem's there. The struggle that we have is not just with the pain or the disappointment in our life. The struggle behind that pain and that situation is really and always a struggle with God. A struggle with God. Am I going to believe Him or am I not going to believe Him? And to make it a little more personal, maybe where we live, every time you and I have a struggle with another person, whether it be a member of our own family, somebody at work or in the neighborhood, another Christian, that struggle is not just a struggle with that person. The real struggle going on is a struggle with God. Do I trust Him or do I not trust the one He sent? This is the work of God, said Jesus, to believe in the one He has sent. Mark's gospel tells us a similar story of someone who waited a long time for an answer to prayer. It was a father, a father's heart for a child. And the child has an evil spirit and no one can help. And when Jesus saw the child, He said, how long has this boy been like this? And the man said, since childhood. It's been a long time since this boy has had this disability and has not been able to overcome it. So maybe the boy's 18 years old up to that point, perhaps. The disciples were asked to help the child earlier And don't miss what the Bible says. The Bible says they could do nothing. They could do nothing. And it's good for us as believers, you know, to realize the limitations you and I have in our own resources in truly helping another person. We are very limited. There's a list in our bulletin each week of about 50 people who have needs and request prayer for various concerns. If you were to approach just a few of those in your own strength and say, well, I'm going to try to help them and make a difference, you would find yourself praying for them rather quickly and turning to Christ in prayer. That would be good for you and good for them. But we are very limited in what we can do to help another person. The disciples, they couldn't solve the problem. If you notice the first part of the Bible story there, what were they doing when the little boy was hurting? When they realized they couldn't do anything constructive, they began to argue with the teachers of the law. And I find myself, the more I quarrel, the more it shows in my life, I'm really frustrated with me not being able to do anything constructive. It's almost like sometimes the world asks you and I as Christians who believe in Christ, will you all stop arguing theology long enough to help us? That's where the disciples were at. The father was desperate. He knew where to go. I'm taking my son to Jesus. If you're a parent, if you want to know how to bless your child, take him to the Lord in prayer or in some act of dedication in your heart. Well, the father takes the son to Jesus. Jesus says, I will help the child. And the man says, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. He doesn't have a lot of faith. It's been a long time since he saw God do anything for his son at all. And the man's prayer was no stronger than, if there's anything you could do, Lord, to help, please do. And I'm trying to believe. And he says it in tears. Help me in my lack of faith. And Jesus reaches out and touches the life of the child and touches the man's life, of course. And Christians ask Jesus, why couldn't we help? Why couldn't we help? And Jesus said, because this can only be helped by prayer. By prayer. That's the best way to help somebody. And at the point of the father's greatest need and grief, Jesus met him. And this morning, if you see yourself as Sarah and Abraham, or the man who had a boy that, who knows how that would turn out with him, at your point of greatest difficulty or pain in your life, Jesus would really like to meet you there and show himself a loving Savior. And what if the Lord did not respond in a healing kind of manner to Abraham and Sarah, or perhaps to the father? There's every evidence in Scripture that Abraham and Sarah, they were going to trust God with a yes or with a no. They really were. By Abraham's response. Oh, we have Ishmael. We don't need that kind of blessing. And yet God provided. There are people in the Scripture who never had their prayers answered the way they thought they should be answered. And yet God showed himself faithful on their behalf. One was John the Baptist. Effectively pointed people to Christ. However, John was arrested, put in jail. On death row, he sends his followers to Jesus and asks the question, are you the one we should expect? Are you the Messiah, or should we expect someone else? Almost as a prayer to say, Lord, I'm praying to you, but should I expect something beyond you, beyond your goodness? And Jesus sends news that he is the Messiah. John's life would not be taken out of prison, but his life would be known not as a man who just lost his life in prison. His life would be known as a man who trusted Christ and pointed people to him. So you and I, as you have that something in your life that almost dominates your thinking about yourself or your future, could you see Christ as bigger than that pain or difficulty or problem, and his glory intervening for you? He can be trusted even when his answer is so different than what you requested. I think of Johnny Erickson Tata as a modern day example of this. Injured in a tragic way while swimming, confined to a wheelchair for 40 years in her life. She has made the comment that she would rather be in the wheelchair and trust Jesus than not be in the wheelchair and be healthy and live without Christ. And she was able to say that, by the way, only after some years of praying through some things, that God was able to meet her and give her that kind of, I will trust you, Lord, in this broken condition. And I think each one of us in our soul, physically, none here this morning are in wheelchairs. One was here at the first service. But somewhere in our soul, we are in a wheelchair. What is a wheelchair for you? And could you say, if Jesus was with me, I would rather have him in my condition than to be without him, if I could somehow make this problem vanish otherwise. Can we trust God? God is faithful, and he'll meet us at our point of greatest need. And remember that the pain you experience in your spiritual wheelchair, your struggle is not with the wheelchair. Your struggle is to trust God or not trust God. And we really do need his help to have that trust. God gives us the dignity in our disabilities to make a choice. Lord, I can suffer alone by saying, oh, forget everything about God. He's not going to help me anyway. And most of us have chosen at times to suffer without God. When we do, the volume of that suffering goes up. It just compounds. Or we could say, if I have to go through a tough time or a tough time can remain in my past, I am going to trust God anyway. And when we do, Jesus shoulders that with us and shows himself a faithful, helpful presence so that everything about your life is not just the hurt and the disappointment that has been, but the presence of Christ and his faithfulness through your times. To leave you with a song and a scripture as we ask God for help trusting him. Simple song of faith. I think Sarah and Johnny Erickson taught I can sing this. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life. For Sarah, at the end of her story, she said this. God brought me laughter. It was a different kind of laughter. And she said, everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And as we're here this morning, only God can change a laugh of pain and despair, which at times we have all done, into a laugh of joy and thanksgiving. This is the work of God, said Jesus, to believe in the one he has sent. Might you do that this morning? If you're here this morning and wondering how God can cure the disabilities in your soul or the sin that would be there and you would know about, he'd invite you to trust him. He's a faithful Savior who will forgive your sins, come into your life, change you, and one day take you to heaven to be with him. Without Christ, there's no way to heaven. There's no forgiveness of sins, but he graciously has come to be a wonderful Savior. Put your trust in him today as you meet with him at communion time, and he'll be faithful. Could you pray with me for people who have special needs and gather with the Lord at his table? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you would invite us to have fellowship with yourself at your table. It's a reminder of your love expressed on Calvary's cross, that you would die for the forgiveness of sins and be alive to be our Lord and Savior at this very moment. Lord, we give our broken hearts to you if there is any brokenness there caused by our own sin or perhaps by the sins of others. And until we give you our broken hearts, Father, we will never be made whole. So take them into your hands and make us an offering to yourself. something beautiful and something good. Work a work of trust in each one here, Lord, as we often pray, Lord, we believe, help our unbelief. We hold before you people who have special needs. Thank you. We've sung about Jesus shining among the nations. We pray for Jonathan Jaloski this morning as Daryl has led the music. His son is over in the Far East, I think is in Thailand today. That you would bless Jonathan and all the singers from the Cove Falls, that they would have a great time in you. Bless Krista Mueller as she travels throughout Florida singing praises to your name. We remember hurting people for Jeff Ewing's dad. Comfort and encourage him as his ribs, broken ribs, heal up. For Paula Martin and Mrs. Zelniak and Mrs. Byerly, please give them health and strength each day. We remember Mrs. Cumming and ask you do good things on her behalf and on the behalf of Bill Buchanan. Be their grace and strength each day. We thank the Lord for new life born to families. Thank you for two little girls, Bryn and Christina, and ask you to bless them all the days of their life and bless their parents. We pray, Father, for Adele Hassan, that you would give her good news in days ahead, for Dawn Winklevoss, and Father, for your work around the world, might missionaries be close to you to love others toward yourself. We pray that, Lord, in our own walk, that you would do this good work. And meet us, Lord, at this table. We thank you for your grace and mercy, and we come at your invitation, not in our own merits, but in the merit of Christ, who is our Savior and Lord. And we set this time aside to be with you. Bless us. In your name we pray. Amen.